Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, Packer fans? Happy Monday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Monday. It is not Victory Monday. We always prefer Victory Mondays. Unfortunately, we do not always get them. The Packers defeated handily by the Denver Broncos in Denver, 27-2. Yes, you heard that right, 27-2. An odd score, an odd game, a game that Green Bay was never in. It went wrong from the very first snap, and it never really course-corrected itself. A game that was certainly expected to be a difficult game for the Packers because they were not playing any of their starters. They had 31 players inactive. The Broncos were playing their starters. That is a bad recipe for success, but there were a lot of things that went very wrong in this game. We will get to all of them. There were a couple things that went positive, but this was mostly a disappointing performance through and through for Green Bay. Before we talk about all of it, huge shout out to Allison Tuckwab and Seth Karen for becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Make sure to check out those YouTube memberships, additional content, early content, extra Q&As. It's all worth it. So make sure to check that out. Also, of course, we've got the Luigi's Pizza Player of the Game. And today we are representing the Ultra Thin Crust Supreme Pizza. Super excited about this one because this will probably not surprise you. I don't like black olives. Now, Luigi's does have pizzas with black olives if you're a black olive connoisseur. I am not. I think they are the worst things known to man. Black olives and mayonnaise, basically. The two, just what are we even doing here? But I digress. Luigi's Pizza, supreme thin crust. It's got pepperoni, sausage, red peppers, green peppers, and onions. Onions, by the way, the most underrated and best pizza topping in the world. Absolutely love them. But yes, this is fantastic. And of course, we've got to go over our Luigi's Pizza Player of the Game, which was extremely difficult to come up with. What we ultimately voted upon, I put it out there for everyone to vote on, was Tyron Hopper. Now, it's an interesting game for Tyron Hopper. Certainly some good and some bad. From a positive standpoint, he had 11 tackles on the day, 6 solo. This was his first NFL performance, even in a preseason game. And I thought for his first game, there were a lot of positives to take away, again, especially from a tackling standpoint. He probably played more than was expected with the Raylan Goforth concussion. My guess is maybe Goforth was going to play a little bit more. But instead, with Goforth injured, Hopper probably took on a little bit more of the workload. He called a lot of the plays. He made not only the 11 tackles, but there were some big time hits and some big time tackles within those 11 tackles. 6 of them were solo. And I don't know that he's going to grade out the highest. There was some coverage stuff. You heard Matt LaFleur talk about that cover 2 play where there was a receiver underneath. Tyron Hopper involved in that. There were a couple other ones. So this might not end up being the most flattering grade in the end for Tyron Hopper, but the effort was there. And in a game where there wasn't a whole heck of a lot going on, just the fact that he had his first performance, got in the game, made an impact, 11 tackles, was all over the place, and yeah, had some hiccups along the way, which is to be expected in your first NFL performance. I think it was more than worthwhile. So Tyron Hopper, your Luigi's Pizza Player of the Game. Before we get into anything else, I think we have to start with the players who did not play in this game. There were 31 inactive Packers for this particular game. Let's start from the top. All right, here we go. Quay Walker, Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson, Jordan Love, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Eric Stokes, Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, AJ Dillon, Xavier McKinney, Marshawn Lloyd, Jarvion Howard, Carrington Valentine, Zach Tom, Keyshawn Banks, Rashawn Gary, Edrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Rashid Walker, Donovan Jennings, Josh Myers, Elton Jenkins, Jordan Morgan, Tucker Kraft, Romeo Doubs, Luke Musgrave, Preston Smith, TJ Slayton, Devontae Wyatt, and Kenny Clark. So obviously, a huge chunk of important players that were not playing in this game, which is always going to put you behind the eight ball when you go into a game like this on the road against a team like Denver, who is playing their starters and really trying to get back on track as a franchise. They're trying to go out and, you know, still, I don't want to say set the tone, but they're trying to get on track. And Green Bay is just trying to get out healthy. There are two competing interests in this game, and it played out that way. Green Bay's biggest thing is they didn't want their starters to get hurt in this game, and it came across that way. And Denver was trying to really get everything going in the right direction under Sean Payton. I think they wanted a good performance. They played their starters well, and I think through the first quarter, and they set the tone early, and they got out of there with a very easy win. And it won't amount to anything for either side as you go into the regular season. We're not going to look back at this game as any sort of turning point or anything like that. But again, two teams with two very different philosophies going into this game. As we look at the players that were not playing, there was one very intriguing one to me. If a player is on the roster bubble, you want to give them every opportunity to play in the game to go and prove themselves. Royce Newman's a great example of this. Royce Newman's been a Packer for what I think this is what his fourth season, right? And he's started games before, and he is not a lock to make the team. And Green Bay played him the entirety of the game. They played him the entire game in this one to go out and have an opportunity to prove himself. A player who did not have that opportunity was AJ Dillon. AJ Dillon was a healthy scratch from this game, as far as we know. We don't know if there was anything that was wrong or injury related, but he practiced in full at the joint practice on Friday, and it seems like he was a healthy scratch for the game. If in fact that is the case, that would lead me to believe that his roster spot is safe, that he is not going anywhere, and that he will be on this 53 when the Packers open against the Eagles on Friday Night Football. This is still a weird thing to say, Friday Night Football, but you get the point. I thought that was by far and away the most interesting of all the inactives, and I think it does probably tell us a little bit about his future, and his future is going to be in Green Bay unless something changes drastically, or unless there was some sort of injury or illness related that we don't know about, or unless they're trying to trade him, which I doubt that's going to be the case as well. Either way, if we're sort of reading the tea leaves here, it very, very much seems like AJ Dillon is going to be on this Packers roster again as they open against the Eagles. That was the biggest, I think, takeaway from the inactives, other than the fact that there was a whole crap ton of inactives. But as far as the game went, let us not sugarcoat this. This was a brutal performance. And it was, as I mentioned, ugly from the very first play of the game. But when I say it's a brutal performance, I'm not saying it actually because of the score. I don't really care about the score, but also the score. They lost 27-2. It was not remotely close. And they got their butts handed to them through the entirety of the game. So that's a huge piece of it, or at least a piece of it. But the bigger piece of it to me was that everything that you sort of wanted to get out of this game, everything that you wanted to see, everything that you were hoping for, you did not only not, or you didn't get, but you didn't like even remotely come close to get. In fact, it went in the exact opposite direction. It went in a negative direction. The quarterback battle. You were hoping one of these guys, or maybe both even, would step up, prove themselves, and show, hey, Green Bay has a true legitimate backup quarterback on this roster. And maybe they even have a backup and a really strong developmental player. And instead, both Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt went out and had poor performances and gave no indication that either is ready to be the backup quarterback for Green Bay at this point in time. That was a huge negative. You had the wide receiver battle, and this wasn't really due to the wide receivers. It was due to, I think, everything else. But, you know, Grant Dubose had a tough game. He did have a really nice special teams play, but he didn't really get to do anything. Malik Heath had a few catches and probably should have garnered a pass interference penalty on that deep throw on the opening drive. Bo Melton had a catch, but you didn't get to see these guys really separate themselves or really get to do much because so much of the offense was just disjointed and it couldn't do anything all throughout the game. The offensive line depth, I thought, was extremely shaky. We'll talk about the offensive tackle position in just a moment, but I didn't think they did Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt any favors throughout the course of the day. That was one of the things that you were really hoping for in this game, was that maybe a swing tackle would really step up and prove themselves. I don't think we got that. In fact, Travis Glover at right tackle, and sort of a surprise, and Kadeem Telford, sometimes at left, sometimes at right, got a lot of playing time. I didn't think either of them really lived up to it. I thought that was disappointing. I wanted, you know, LVN to really pop early in this game. He was one of the key players that actually played in this game. I didn't think he had a really impressive performance. There were a couple plays here or there, but I was hoping for a little bit more from him. Kalen King was a player that, again, I think has had a really great camp up until this point. He had a tough performance, couple missed tackles, at least one big completion that was given up in the passing game. Didn't think it was his best performance. And then the kicker battle, right? we were hoping to see maybe a few more kicks, or at least when we did see kicks, that they were actually going to go, you know, through the uprights. It's an important piece of that process. But Greg Joseph got one field goal attempt and missed it wide right from 47 yards, giving you no faith in that kicker competition once again. So it was a brutal performance on the scoreboard. If this is a game that they lose by 20, but we actually saw some decent quarterback play from Pratt or Clifford or one of the two at least, if we got to see some of these wide receivers step up like we saw Dubose step up a week ago, if we saw LVN have a couple really nice pass rushes, the offensive line depth really stepped up, the kicker battle, maybe they made a few kicks or whatever it might be, it's different. I don't care about the scoreboard at all. But it is the coupling of a brutal score and an abysmal game with the fact that everything that you were looking for and hoping for from the Packers in this game went in the wrong direction. And that's what ultimately makes it an absolutely brutal game from really start to finish. And again, starting with the very first play where Sean Clifford couldn't handle the snap on the very first play of the game. Now he made a good play out of it, picked it up, got around the corner, got a face mask penalty. But again, nothing amounted out of it from there. And it was just that sort of day for the Packers through the entirety of the game. What is up, everybody? We are back with another exciting week of Prize Picks action. And if you have not started playing Prize Picks yet, what are you waiting for? You need to sign up right now and you will quickly realize why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Now that Team USA has brought home the gold, WNBA basketball is ready to heat back up, and it's already been a huge weekend from Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And right now, you could turn $10 into $1,000 while watching the stars tear it up in the WNBA. And did you know that you can set your lineup in as little as 60 seconds? Just pick more or pick less on a player's stat projections, and you are locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and of course, Wisconsin. This week, I'm going with Kelsey Plum and Arike Ngumbawale in what should be a massively fun week of basketball on Prize Picks. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course they were gone. Goodbye, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And this was supposed to be a, you know, business trip out to Denver to go out and hopefully get better, continue the momentum moving forward, and take care of business. And Green Bay did none of that. Listen, they had a joint practice and a preseason game, and they crapped the bed in both. They did not play up to the Packers standard. And I don't want to, again, just like I said after the joint practice, I don't want to make too much out of this. It's not the end of the world. It is a preseason game where 31 starters did not play. We can, you know, clearly address that. And that's a very obvious reason why this sort of went the way that it did. But during joint practices, those starters were out there. And when you go out to show yourselves and continue to get better and play against, you know, competition that's not your own jersey color, you want to go out and show what you're capable of. And I thought that this was a very disappointing trip to Denver overall for this young Packers team that still clearly has a lot to learn. So what do you want to take out of a preseason game like this? The first thing I will say is take the score and put it to the side for the most part. We already discussed it's a disappointing end result and it's a disappointing performance, but put the score to the side. Getting to see some of these fringe roster players versus the Broncos starters, especially early in that game, will be huge for the evaluation of these players. When Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst are trying to decide what 53 guys they want to keep, and as those final roster spots are up for grabs, how some of these players performed better or worse against a starting caliber unit like Denver showed will go a long way in helping the evaluations for those players. That is a positive one way or the other. Just that you get to get those evaluations against starting players, that is a huge thing for Goody and LaFleur. And Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff will utilize this upcoming week a ton to sort of redirect and refocus this team coming off what was a bad week of practice and performance in the exhibition game against the Broncos. And as Matt LaFleur said, was not up to their standards. That needs to be better. And I'll say this one more time, or I guess say it in a different way. Yes, 31 players were out in this game. When you put on the G, I guarantee you, if I were, I'll put myself in Matt LaFleur's shoes for just a moment. If I'm Matt LaFleur, I know going into the game that I have 31 players that are out. I still am doing everything in my power. I shouldn't say everything. I'm not putting together a full game plan or not doing anything that's not super vanilla, but I still want to put my players in positions to be successful, and I want to see them go out and execute what is called on the field. Period. End of story. It does, the goal does not change regardless of who is in or out of the game. The goal remains the same, that you've got to beat the person across from you, that you have to function as a team, and you collectively need to play the football that you are expected to play. And Green Bay fell short of that standard, period, end of story. I don't care who is out there. You carry the G no matter what. But Matt will use that this upcoming week to get everyone re-rallied and refocused and going in the right direction, because clearly there was a bit of a setback is the wrong word, but just a disappointing, disjointed performance all the way across the board from the time that they landed in Denver, from the time that they took off from Denver. And it needs to be better. And I guarantee you the coaching staff will use that again, and not against the players, but to re-rally the players this upcoming week. I'll say it one more time. Another thing that I don't want to take away from this preseason game is the score. The score does not matter. We will at no point for the remainder of the year be talking about a preseason loss to the Denver Broncos. I don't care what the score is. It'll have no bearing on the season, especially when 31 of your best players do not play in this particular game. So the score at the end of the day does not matter. And the other thing that I want to reemphasize here too is I saw people complaining during the course of the game. It's 3rd and 17. Why are you calling a little pass to Emmanuel Wilson and then another pass to Emmanuel Wilson on a screen pass after that? The play calling in this on both sides is insanely vanilla. And I'll just say this. On a 3rd and 17, do you really want Sean Clifford dropping back to pass against Patrick Surtain in a starting defense? There's more bad than good that's going to come out of that situation. So I understand wanting to call a safe play, allow Sean to get the ball out of his hands. Maybe Emmanuel Wilson can make a play, which he did, right? One-handed catch. I think he got 11 yards on the play. But, pushing the ball down the field in that scenario probably was not going to end well. So this is a very vanilla offense, a very vanilla defense with no game planning and a opportunity to evaluate the players based on what they showed against the starters from Denver. And that is a very positive thing that you're going to get that evaluation. But the other big negative, I think, from this is I said it on Thursday. I was extremely happy to some extent that Broncos team punched the Packers in the face in that practice. But then I was really hoping, yes, backups, I get it, but I was hoping for some level of response from the Packers in Sunday Night Football. And it didn't happen. They, again, looked out of sorts from the very beginning of the game in a tough situation, to be fair, but they did not look like they were in fighting form. I'll just put it that way. And I don't think the effort was quite as bad as people are making it out to be, but it also wasn't good enough. It clearly was not good enough. It needed to be a step and a half higher from what it was. And I wanted this team to show a little bit more fight. And it just didn't seem that way. And the last thing I'll add here of like when we're trying to evaluate this, when you end up in a situation, to be crystal clear at the beginning of this game, when you end up in a situation where you have one team that's playing its starters and the other that has basically all of its starters out, and you're going extremely vanilla on both sides of the ball, and you're not game planning for the other team, what's going to win out? Talent. You're not game planning for it. You're not scheming. You're not stacking plays on top of each other. You're not playing your starters. You're just going out. What is going to win? It's just going to be flat out talent. So the fact that Denver went out and got a big lead early and outplayed and outclassed the Packers second string, that is not a surprise. That is not a surprise at all. That is what should happen in that situation. And like I said, I think Denver probably focused a little bit more on trying to perform well in this game. And Green Bay was a little bit more ripe to just say, hey, we just want to get out of this healthy. And we'll see if that affects Green Bay moving forward or if that was the right choice. They got out of it mostly healthy. We'll talk about that. But that's the difference here. There are some good things that you can take away from a preseason game like this, but there's a lot that just ultimately doesn't matter all that much. Now, let's talk about some individual performances. Sean Clifford, extremely tough day. 6 of 10, 43 yards and a pick. A 30.4 passer rating. If you took the ball, snapped it, chucked it into the dirt every single time, you end up with a 39.6 passer rating. So he was 30.4. So it was worse than just snapping the ball and chucking it into the ground every time. And interceptions have been a major problem and a major concern for Sean Clifford. I've talked about this a couple of days ago, I think, but if you're going to be a high-risk quarterback like Sean Clifford has been with all the turnovers that he's had, you need to be a high-reward quarterback. And there's been no reward. The Packers didn't have a play over 15 yards in this entire game. There's no big plays. There were a couple opportunities for Clifford down the field. And again, Malik Heath maybe should have had a pass interference on that play early in the game. But overall, this is what we've seen from Clifford. The inability to be efficient, the inability to take care of the ball, and the lack of explosive plays. That is a horrible recipe for any quarterback. A number one, a number two, a number three, it doesn't matter. That is a horrible recipe for success. Turning the ball over, not making big plays, and not being efficient. Good luck. That's not a recipe for success in the NFL for any quarterback. Now, Michael Pratt, not a ton better. 10 for 16, 52 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, but did lose a fumble. I think the big thing here for Michael Pratt is he has to learn to put a little bit more touch on the ball in certain situations. Now, he had a couple bullets that were awesome, fit into some tight windows, and he utilized his arm strength. And you love that he has the cannon when he needs it. But on that slant play, where it was a fourth down, if I remember correctly, I think it was Dubose, and Pratt just fires it, but it's high and behind, and it was at a million miles per hour. That's one that you need to guide nice and easy in front of Grant Dubose so he can run onto it, make the catch, continue on, and have a first down. But instead, he did not put touch on it. He rocketed it, and it was a little bit off, and Dubose could not come up with it. And there was a deep ball down the field as well where I think a little bit more touch, and maybe he has the ability to make that big play down the field. And that's going to be the big thing. I think he has the howitzer. He has the big-time arm. He can use it when he needs to, but he doesn't always have to. And in fact, in some situations and in some circumstances, it is better to take a little bit off of the fastball, guide it a little bit better, make it a little bit more accurate, and make sure you're getting that ball where it needs to go. Like overall in camp, he's been accurate. I thought there were a couple today with a little bit more touch may have had a much better result. Now that may bring you to the idea of, well, should Green Bay start looking at backup quarterback options? Well, in case that's what you're thinking, there are some potential names out there that could be trade bait over the next week, week and a half. Bailey Zappe for New England, there's four quarterbacks there. The three not named Bailey Zappe are almost assuredly going to make the team. That could make Bailey Zappe available. Tyler Huntley in Cleveland is right now number three-ish, backup quarterback or number three quarterback. He could potentially be available. Either Davis Mills or Case Keenum from Houston. One of those will finish in the number three spot. The other will be their backup. Taylor Heinicke for the Falcons. He's behind both Kirk Cousins and the rookie quarterback as well, whose name is escaping me for the moment. I'll come back to it, though, because it's going to bother me. Yeah, we'll come back to that. Jake Haener for the Saints. It's quite possible that obviously Derek Carr is going to be the starter. And then they have Spencer Rattler as the backup. Michael Penix. There we go. Michael Penix for the Falcons. Desmond Ridder and Clayton Tune for the Cardinals are battling for the number two spot. The loser is going to be the number three and maybe could be available in Arizona. And PJ Walker for the Seahawks is right now behind Geno Smith and Sam Howell in Seattle. And PJ Walker has looked impressive at times. So Bailey Zappe, Tyler Huntley, Davis Mills, Case Keenum, Taylor Heineke, Jake Haener, Desmond Ridder, Clayton Tune, PJ Walker, all could be players that could theoretically be available for a pretty cheap trade over the course of the next week, week and a half. You do also have Ryan Tannehill that's out there. I don't know that Green Bay wants to go in that direction. I don't know that they want to spend money or draft capital on bringing in a backup, and it might just have to be Clifford or Pratt, but I don't think that this game gave a ton of confidence that there is a good backup quarterback currently on the roster. At least that's ready to play right now. Manuel Wilson, he started 11 of 22 in this game, a 2-yard average. His offensive line didn't do him a ton of favors. And I just want to remind you that's, you know, we go back to AJ Dillon a week ago. Like sometimes the offensive line just does not do you any favors and you can't get much going. 11 for 22 is not a good day at the office. Now he did rip off an impressive 15-yard run later in the game, which was a really nice run. I thought he still showed contact balance. I thought he still showed some playmaking ability, had an impressive one-handed catch, had a really nice play in pass pro. And those were the things that we were sort of looking for going into this game from Emmanuel Wilson. As I said on the pregame show, we know he's a good runner. He has checked that box. Now, can he pass protect? Can he make some plays in the passing game? I thought the one-hander was great. I thought the blitz pickup he had was really good. So those are still positive steps in the right direction for Emmanuel Wilson as he tries to carve out a spot on the 53-man roster for himself. Not a great game. 13 carries, 41 yards, one catch, 11 yards, 52 yards total on 14 touches. Not, again, the ideal performance, but the offensive line had a lot to do with that. Backup offensive tackles, I thought, were a massive struggle in this game. And part of the reason that Clifford and Pratt struggled, specifically Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford, I thought those two were getting beat more often than not. I thought Royce Newman had a bit of a tough game. Lasita Smith, I know, had a big penalty right when he got in. Like, this backup offensive line did not give you a ton of faith that they can go in and perform at a high level if called upon and if needed. And they're likely going to be needed at some point this season. Now, I'm excited to see what Jacob Monk did. I didn't see him get beat a ton. It's possible he had a good game. It's possible he had a bad game, but I'm just excited to watch him a little bit more. And I do think Andre Dillard at left tackle has been mostly solid. Like, not great, not wonderful, but I think he's been mostly solid. When he gets to right tackle is when he's had a lot of his problems in camp. But just at left tackle, it's been good. It's been good. It's been fine. It's been what you would expect. So That gives me a little bit of hope, or if they need a left tackle for a little bit, it's not the worst case scenario, but I don't think you really want Andre Dillard at right tackle at any point this season. But disappointing performances specifically from Kadeem Telford and Travis Glover in this one. Christian Welch was a mostly positive result, 6 tackles, interception. And that interception was a pop-up, of course. It's not like he jumped a pass, but it was still a difficult pick. His own guy kind of got in the way right at the catch point, but Welch came up with it anyway, had a pass breakup, a tackle for loss. I thought he really did a nice job of navigating everything, making a big play. And he's had as they mentioned on the broadcast, he's had a really nice training camp. He's consistently done what has been asked of him. He's a core special teamer. I think there's something there if Green Bay wants to keep him as a potential 6th linebacker. I think he's earned it and deserves it. I don't know if there's going to be the space for him, but I would have no issue if Christian Welch ended up making this team based on what he has done in camp and preseason so far. As mentioned earlier, Kalen King, a little bit of a tough day at the office, had a couple missed tackles, gave up a big completion down the field. He made a couple nice tackles as well. So you take some, you miss some. It is what it is. But, young player who has made the most of his opportunities, thought he had some more opportunities in this one that he did not make the most of. And hopefully he has a bounce back week in the 3rd preseason game against the Ravens. Brenton Cox had a big time pressure, which helped lead to the interception, and then also had a big sack in this one. He, I thought, needed a big game, and he came up with one with 2 big time plays. Zach Morton and Brevin Allen. Brevin Allen came up with a sack. Zach Morton, the sack in the end zone for the safety. If you had Zach Morton as the only guy that was going to get points for the Packers in this one, You should have played the lottery because that was your lucky day. I don't know how you could have predicted that, but kudos to Zach Morton for coming up with a big play, and kudos to Zach Morton and Brevin Allen for, they like just got to camp, right? They barely know what's going on. They both get in the game, both make big plays, especially Zach Morton getting the only points on the day. The kicking battle continues to be a mess, a nightmare, whatever you want to call it. Only one kick in this game. Greg Joseph, 47 yards, misses it easily wide right, not even close. And this kicking battle continues to be a massive struggle. Nobody's taking it. Joseph has really struggled as of late. Carlson hasn't exactly picked up the slack. It's just been extremely underwhelming. And that continued with Greg Joseph's miss. One thing just really quick, not related to how the Packers played, but they have to fix that safety rule, because to kick off instead of punt, and then that the coverage unit gets to line up at the same yard marker as usual, they should be back 15 yards further. Like, why are they not back 15 yards further? That makes zero sense whatsoever. Like, they've got to fix that, because there is almost no advantage right now to getting that safety kick, because they're still kicking it far and everyone's lined up at the same spot. In fact, it might be easier, because you now are probably can kick it full strength and make sure that it lands in the landing zone. You don't have to really worry about anything else. And all of your guys are in the same spot. So NFL definitely needs to fix that rule in some capacity. It just makes no common sense whatsoever. If Green Bay's biggest win in this one was trying to get out of the game with no injuries, I think they mostly got a W in that one column. Raylan Goforth did leave the game with a concussion, got some friendly fire along the goal line. Hopefully he's okay and can bounce back. But that was, as of known, at least the only injury that was announced at any portion of the game. And it didn't really seem like anyone else exited with any injury. So hopefully, knock on wood, good news coming out of the game with no other major injuries. Up next for the Packers, they have the Ravens coming up this week. Joint practice on Thursday, game on Saturday. Matt LaFleur said in his press conference he was not sure if the starters would play or not. I could see a reason why they'd want to following this one, maybe set the tone a little bit better early in that game, but we will see what Matt LaFleur ultimately comes up with. As of right now, he did not give one way or the other as to what he will do with his starters on Saturday. Final thoughts. As I mentioned earlier, the coaches will use this. It's preseason, but it can't be that ugly. I get having a tough day at the office, and especially when you have the twos and your other team is playing their ones. It just can't be that ugly. That was absolute ugly. It's not what you want to see. It needs to be better. Don't care who's in the game. It just needs to be a better performance than that. And hopefully it will be this week against the Ravens, both in practice and in the game on, what is it, Saturday? I think it's Saturday. Need to get some momentum back this week against the Ravens. You don't want another crap the bed week against the Ravens where the Ravens handed to them. And now you have to go into that first week being like, man, the last two teams we played in, the Broncos and the Ravens, completely handed it to us. So hopefully Green Bay can, again, have a bounce back week this week. And they might just need to make some calls about a backup quarterback, or at least what options are out there as well. Because right now there is certainly a question mark as to whether or not the backup quarterback is on this roster, at least is capable of actually being a number two QB. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate all of your support. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broadad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ritaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, and Love and Football. I will see you guys right back here tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.